Thank you for that, Miss Linda. Well, we have some very talented people in this church, don't we? I love to hear them sing. God reminds us this morning when I opened up the bulletin that He has a sense of humor. And it says, Linda Phillips, much too high a price, Billy Dawson, $3 worth, please. He reminds us. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to begin reading two very short verses, two verses that you are so very familiar with, and I want you to read those with me, and then we're going to kind of take them maybe in a different direction than maybe what you've done before. In verse 28, in the 14th chapter of Matthew, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come into the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come on the water. And Jesus simply said, come. You know, one day Karen and I were driving around town, and suddenly she cries out, hey, turn around right here. Go back. There's a car on that lot back there that I want to go see. Now, I've learned in my years of marriage that those impulsive U-turns in the middle of the road are no minor events. They are the things that are critical in importance of the peace and tranquility of our marriage. So I think it was only with minor protest that I whipped the car around, I turned it around in the road, and I find that car lot. Now she pointed out to me this car that she had noticed. Now notice she had the car picked out, I didn't even notice the lot. And there sits this silver Crown Victoria. Now, to me, at that age when this happened, that seemed kind of like an older person's car to me at that point in our lives. But you see, that didn't matter. Karen had noticed it, and it is obvious that she had already been by this lot before, and she had seen that car, and she had kind of fallen in love with it, and she wanted to U-turn to go see it. So we get out, and I do my mechanical things. I walk around the car, kick the tire. I'm done. The car was very nice. The car was, reasonably priced. But for my sake, thank goodness, it was Saturday evening and the dealership was closed. So Karen says, let's come back first thing Monday and let's drive the car. And I said, maybe so. We'll think about it. You see, Karen's in the market for a new car. I'm not. Karen wants a new car. That silver Cougar she was driving out of college was running just fine. And so I was convincing her of all the reasons that we should keep that car. Yeah, honey, I know that that Cougar still, it runs a little loud. I know the muffler's about to fall off. I know the air conditioner doesn't work like it used to. The radio won't come on. I know that it's two-tone in color because I hit a deer on our engagement night. I know all of that is true, but it still runs. And we really should think about keeping that car. And so one way or another, I managed to suppress the idea that we would go back Monday. And so we piddle along that week, and Karen's throwing these hints. Hey, Billy, I think that car has my name on it. Hey, Billy, I drove by the lot today, and guess what? The car is still there. Well, as you would know, we made it through the week. And I'm in the field house on Friday. We have a ball game, big ball game. And I'm making final preparations before I go out with our coaches. And this manager runs in the door and says, hey, Miss Karen needs to see you now. Well, I'm thinking something's happened. We're living in Baton Rouge at the time. And I'm thinking, oh boy. So I sprint out in the parking lot. And guess what? There sits a silver Crown Victoria. She said, it drives great. Can we buy it? And at this point in my life, the car is the last thing on my mind. So I said, whatever you think, and I'm sure you know the rest of the story. You see, I'm the one that has to examine all the options. I have to wear it out in my mind, in my matter of my mind, before I can commit to it with my heart. And Karen's ready to go out and do it. Hey, let's go do it. Whatever it is, spur of the moment. I have to plan to be spontaneous. I have to put it on my calendar. It has to be something I plan to do. Hey, I'm going to have fun tomorrow. That's written down. There are some people like that. To be spontaneous, to have fun, I have to plan that. Not Karen. She knew we were getting married 3 months before I even knew what married was. These spontaneous people are always ahead of us cautious analytics, of these thinkers, of these people that have to have it all figured out. And it's almost more than I can take. And then I open up the Bible this morning in Matthew chapter 14. And the Bible says, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come to where you are on the water. And Peter got up and he stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water and he came to Jesus. And there's no question in my mind this morning whom I identify with on that night of the storm in that tall sea. Who is Billy? He is the one sitting on that boat with the other disciples. I'm hanging on for dear life. I'm clutching the mast. I'm telling Peter, you're crazy. I've got the wooden beams in my hand with all of my might. That's me. And you know who Peter reminds me of? Yep, Karen. The U-turn in the middle of the road, regardless of what's going on. That's who Peter reminds me of. He's drawing on this new experience immediately. He's drawn to his Lord. Lord, if it is you, bid me to come onto the water. And the others and I are back in the boat analyzing the situation. We're shouting at Peter, you're crazy. Get back in the boat. Don't do that. But out there in the darkness in the middle of this lake, there's wind blowing everywhere. The lightning is splitting the night. The thunder is rolling and the waves are swelling. And Peter, with this eager resolve on his face, he steps out of the boat into this swirling foam of water. And in that very moment, Matthew gives us a picture of faith. Matthew gives this picture to the early church, to the church of all ages. He gives it to us this morning. It's this crazy picture of faith. And it's not faith as we often think of it. It's not faith that's safe. It's not faith that is secure. It's not faith that is cautious. It's not faith that is careful and analytical. No, here it is, faith to risk. It is a faith to risk and to move on. And I know what you're saying, but Billy, wait a minute. Risk is for corporations. Risk is for the stock market. Risk is for some experimental surgery. Risk is for the space shuttle launching. That's where risk is. Billy, I don't want risk in my ordinary life. A matter of fact, Billy, I do everything in my possibility to limit risk in my own home. I want to limit risk in my business. And Shirley knows, when I come to church, I don't want to risk. I want a safe haven. I want somewhere I can come and be safe. Don't ask me about risk when it comes to my faith. I'm doing all I can to minimize the risk around me, and now you're asking me in church I should risk? I want a rest haven. I want a risk-free zone, a place of comfort, a place of reassurance. I want where I can find salvation. After all, doesn't salvation mean to be saved? And isn't that how someone relates something to being safe? I'm safe in the boat. Billy, I need those theological absolutes, something that I can know beyond a doubt, a place where I can be saved from the rest of the world. I like that risk-free zone. And Wilbur Rees, one of the gentlemen I like to read, he describes this risk-free faith when he writes, I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explore my soul or disturb my sleep. Not just enough to equal a warm cup of milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love someone unlovable. I don't want enough of him to go pick cotton with a migrant worker. No, I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of a womb, not the rebirth. I want a pound of eternal in a paper bag. Just give me $3 worth of God. Boy, isn't that us? Isn't that us? Isn't that where we are? Isn't that it? We want faith to be safe. You see, we want the God of comfort, the God of encouragement, the God of reassurance. And God knows that we need all of those. I need all of those. But too often, church, we just want the warm cup of milk. Too often, church, we just want the snooze in the sunshine. And sometimes we don't want enough of God to make us nervous. We don't want enough. We don't want enough of God to challenge our prejudices, to challenge who we are. We don't want enough of God to change us. We don't want God to transform us. Heaven knows. We don't want that much of God. We don't want God to move us to a new stage in this journey of faith. No, what we want is to be comfortable. We want a God of comfort. And it's very within our reach to stay clutched to the beam back there in the boat where God is at a distance. And that's especially true of you that are cautious and analytical. But Matthew holds this different picture before us. Notice that Peter and the disciples are tossed in the storm. And Peter is stepping out over the edge into this water like that crazy U-turn in the middle of the road. When he says, "Lord, bid me to come to where you are on the water." And Jesus said, "Hey, come." And so Peter got out of the boat and he walked to Jesus. And listen, that makes me nervous. Peter's a controversial figure. We really don't know what to do with old Peter. And if you read the literature on this passage, you'll find someone trying to figure him out. And here's what they say: "Peter, you are impulsive. Peter, you leap before you look. Peter, you are reckless. Peter, you are show-off. Peter, you are foolish. Peter, you do things without thinking about it. You're irrational and you're irresponsible." And listen to me, church. That's what faith sometimes looks like. Faith looks irresponsible. Faith looks foolish. Faith looks like you don't know what you're doing. Faith looks like you leaped before you looked. Faith looks reckless. Faith is sometimes something that looks foolish and irresponsible to those who their faith is analytical and very cautious. They're in the risk-free zone. They only need $3 worth of God, the cup of milk, or the nap in the sunshine. You see, Peter's a man of the sea. Peter knows that you can float a boat on the sea. Peter knows that you can catch fish in the sea. But listen, Peter also knows that you don't walk on the sea. He is a man of the sea. And yet Peter has one word here to act upon. What is that word? Come. That's all it took. Come. He's willing to let go and he's risked. Why? Because he's drawn to Jesus. And you say, "Well, Peter had great faith." No. Look at what Peter asked him. Look back in verse 28. Look what he said. Peter said, "Lord, if it is you." Faith does not say if. Faith says because. "Lord, because it is you, bid me to come onto the water." That's not what Peter said. Peter said, "If it's you." So you're not talking about a guy who was growing up here with all this faith and he's scared to death too. And Jesus said, "Come." And he was drawn to Jesus on that one word. I think Peter wanted more of the one who teaches and heals and loves, who mystifies him. I think he wanted more than $3 worth of God. I think that's what Peter wanted. And Peter joined the centuries of saints and martyrs all over the world in faith that at some point or another who have risked just like Peter did. Remember Abraham? He packed his mules up. He didn't know where he was going, but he went anyway. Moses, who after so many objections, stands in the presence of the great Pharaoh of Egypt. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who knows his message will not be popular. And then there's Paul and Augustine and Luther and Calvin and Martin Luther King Jr. and Mother Teresa, all of them risking, everyone stepping out of their comfort zone at one time or another, willing to be open about their faith. So is that not for you and me this morning? Is that not where we should be this morning? To have faith and hope in a sinful and painful world? To risk disappointment? To risk disillusioned? When the world does not suddenly change and the world does not become a loving and nonviolent place immediately like we want it to? But to believe in a transforming power of Jesus Christ in this day of skepticism and in this day of materialism. Listen, that is risky. That is to be risked to be called foolish and naive. And what are you doing? C.S. Lewis, another one of my favorites. C.S. Lewis said, "I am a safety first creature. I'm cautious and careful." And then he says, "But if I'm sure of anything, I'm sure that Jesus' teaching was never meant to confirm my preference for safe investments." There is no safe investment, Lewis said. To have faith, to love it all, is to make ourselves vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. But here's the issue with you and me and churches. You see, the fear of risk paralyzes us. It just simply paralyzes us. And it paralyzes us into doing nothing. Into staying in the boat. Into sitting in the boat. And we miss the vision of faith. And we miss the richness of life that God offers me. He offers you through this faith. And Jesus says elsewhere in the Gospels, remember, those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who want to lose their life will what? Will save it, will give it away. Plunge it for my sake. Plunge it for the gospel's sake. And they will save it. And they'll find true life. So how about you this morning? Are you cautious? Are you in that risk-free zone? Are you comfortable? Do you identify more with the disciples in the boat or with Peter? Where in your life is God calling you to risk? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something at home. Maybe it's a relationship in this church. Maybe it's a level of commitment in your marriage. Maybe it's a level of commitment to your children or your children to your parents. Maybe it's something at work that you need to take the initiative to go get solved. Are you being called to risk maybe in your relationship with God? To do something you would say, "I've never done that before." Oh, heaven forbid, right? "Oh, this church has never done that before." Oh, well, heaven forbid. Right? I asked this morning, I said, "How come we don't have more than one special music? I love hearing people sing." And she said, "Oh, we've never done that before." Oh, my goodness. My head got red. But are we willing to change? Are we willing to be risky in our own lives? To risk coming to this faith in Jesus Christ that may look foolish, it may look irresponsible, it may look crazy to someone else, and moving away from that $3 worth of God, please. I need $3 worth. I need the snooze and the sunshine and the nap. That's what I need. And giving more of myself to God. Do you consider the God you serve a $3 God? Or do you consider Him a God that calls you and calls me to be transformed through faith, to be deepened, to grow in prayer and meditation and fellowship and Bible study, to grow together as a church. Which of those do you consider him being? Where is it that Second Baptist Church is being called to risk, to step out there and say, this is where God wants me. I know I look crazy. I look stupid. It's foolish. We're just following God. We're just doing what He's asked us to do, to try to be transformed. You see, for the unity of the church at large, it means risk just when we meet together, just when we dialogue with one another. It's going to mean risk stepping out like Peter at times, uncertain of the unknown. We don't know. And it means we have to risk. It means we have to take a chance. It means we have to have faith in where we think God is leading us. And when we do that, then we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared for what follows when we move into this deeper level of faith. You see, I think many Christians only live on the shallow level of faith. Here's what they think faith is. They think faith is an object. Well, I'm saved, now I have faith, so I put this faith in my pocket. It's an object. Faith's not an object. Faith is a process. Now chew on that for a minute. Faith is a process. Faith is not an object. It's not something you put in your pocket. It's something that grows and it deepens through the process. The process of what? Risk. Scary word. Doing something you really don't know what I'm doing. Stepping out on something He asked you to step out on. I know when you read this story, some of you are thinking about the rest of the story, and I think the rest of the story is just as important as the first part of this story. You see, when we desire to have more to God, to give more of ourselves, when we risk, notice what happened to Peter. Peter risked. He saw the wind. He was afraid. He began to sink. And immediately when he began to sink, what'd he do? He reached out, he called out to God. He said, "Save me, Lord." And what did God do immediately? He reached down and he said, "Oh, Peter, dude, you ain't got any faith." And he picks him up out of the water and immediately saved him. He didn't let him plunge like my dad did in the swimming pool 4 or 5 times before he came get you out. No. Come on, gotcha. As soon as Peter saw the wind, he took his eyes off Jesus. Jesus wanted to know, why are you doubting, Peter? Why are you wavering, Peter? Why are you going in two directions at once? And what Matthew is telling us in this portrait is doubt now becomes part of the faith experience. It's part of it. That doubt Peter had, the man of doubt and the man of hesitation, is the same man that stepped out with this deal of risk. He looks at the wind. He notices all of his inadequacies and they overtake him and he starts to go under. And listen, that will happen to you and me as well. It's going to happen. Faltering in itself is a very big part of the creative risk-taking experience. Remember, faith is better understood as a process, not an object in which we possess. It is a process. Faith's not always sure of where you're going. But you know what? You go anyway. The moments of uncertainty and inadequacy will come. They will show up. The devil will make sure of it. Being called to Jesus to come, it means to grow. It means to deepen yourself. It means to be stretched. It means to be transformed, which we know means to be changed, to lose our lives for the sake of the kingdom of God. So Jesus stretches out his hand. And he catches Peter, and he lifts him out of the water, and he restores him. And when they get in the boat, the wind then ceases, and all of those in the boat worship him. And Matthew and all of those in the boat are confessing, saying, "Truly, truly, you are the Son of God." You see, church, the good news of the gospel this morning is simply this. In a life that's filled with storms, a life that's filled with fear, we live in a world of darkness. God is present to us through Jesus. And here's what He bids us to do. He bids us to come. He says, "Take heart, church. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." He bids us to come just as Peter came, to step out of the boat. He bids us no longer to accept $3 worth of God, a pound of eternal in a bag. He bids us no longer to accept the nap in the shade, an easy way out in the risk-free zone. No, He says, come and be transformed. Come and be changed. Come and risk. And when you falter, or when we falter, not if, but when, God is there. When we falter, God is there. He's always there. He's always there to catch us, to take hold of us, so that nothing can pull us under the water. Thank God for that. And where are you this morning? Are you the cautious and analytical type? I have to sit back from a distance and, oh, I have to put that on my calendar before I can risk that faith. I know, I've been there. Is that where you are this morning? You're a comparison shopper? You're on and on and on and on before finally deciding, I think it's safe. Oh, I think it's safe. I think it's going to be okay. It's reasonable to believe just a little bit of God. I don't want too much of Him, but just a little bit. And so we come to church, in our safe place, in our safe entertainment, in our safe place, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And we know that we serve an intellectual God, and He's so nice to think about, and He does such grand things, and He's done such wonderful things in our lives. But listen, Billy, I really don't want to be Him that involved in my life. In church, whether we admit it or not, that's exactly where we are. And that's who we are. Oh, I love Him. Oh, I know He died for me. How awesome is that? But I don't really want Him involved in my life. That would be risky. I might get hurt. And maybe God's calling and He's saying, and you know He's a transforming God, and He's transforming your life, and He is bidding you to make those U-turns in the middle of the road. And Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water, and he came to Jesus. And my question is to you this morning, church, when God calls you to do that, will you get out of the boat? Will you step over the edge, and will you walk to Jesus? Because He's going to call you to do something. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be next week, but are you going to step over the edge of that boat and walk to Jesus when He calls? That's the question we have to answer. I wonder if we'll just dabble in a little bit of faith. It's real easy just to settle for a little warm cup of milk. It's real easy just to settle for a nap, to not risk anything. Or will we be the church that gives ourselves to God, that throws it all out there? The Bible says those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life will, for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, will save it. Would that define us and who we are? The Bible says those are the ones that will find true life. I've been doing this a long time. For me, it seems a long time. I've been to some different churches, all different kinds of people. And what I know about churches is very simple, and I don't mean this in a bad way. It's just true. All churches in America have the same problems. The names just change when you go. They have the same kind of people. The names of the people just change from one church to the other. And I hear the same things. And I hear things like this, Billy, I can't go down front. I can't do that. That's embarrassing. Somebody's going to think something's wrong. Billy, I can't get baptized. I can't do that. Billy, I can't join that church. You know what, Billy? I joined a church 10 years ago and I got hurt. I'm not joining another church. We have all kinds of excuses. Because basically, we want our warm cup of milk. I want to be comfortable. I don't want to step out of my comfort zone and do something God would be calling me to do. And I'm going to ask Second Baptist Church, it's time that we step out of our comfort zone. I've told you before and I'll say it again. In willing to change, you have to be willing to be uncomfortable. You just do. And if you truly want to change, then we've got to do things that we've never done before so we'll get results that we've never gotten before. And with that is risk. And with that is change. And with that is stepping over here where I'm not sure if it'll hold me up. That's where we are. That's where God wants us to be. God wants you leaning on Him, relying on Him to be in that position. I can't commit publicly, Billy. I can't risk failure or embarrassment. And Jesus just simply says, you know what He says? He says, you need to come. He says, you need to come. You that need to be baptized, you need to come. There's no excuse. It's a commandment from God. I've got Jesus in my heart. I need to be baptized. I need to do it. You that need to join a fellowship, you need to do it. I don't care if you got hurt or not. You need to risk. You need to trust God. If this is where you need to be, you need to join. If it's not, then you need to find a place God wants you to be and you need to join there. If God's calling you to save you, you need to respond. You need to step out of there. If you've done something to somebody in this room that you need to resolve, then you forget about embarrassment. You need to go grab that person's hand and have prayer. If you need to come to this altar and get on your knees right now, you need to do that. You need to step out of your comfort zone and risk, because the reward is fantastic. And when you fall, and you will, God's going to be there to catch you. That goes for us individually and us as a church. Father God, thank You this morning for Your Word. Thank You for Peter, who says, Lord, if it's You, bid me to come where You are. And Peter did it. And Father, may that be our prayer this morning. May our prayer be this morning, Lord, if that's what You want me to do, then okay, I'm in. I'm all in. Both feet in. I'm jumping over the side of the boat right now, Lord. I'm uncomfortable doing it. It's not in my safe zone, Lord. But I'm relying on You. Father, because I sincerely want more than $3 worth of You. And Father, we say we want all of You, but does our audio match our video? Is it really true in our life? Father, let us not leave this place this morning with a burden. Let us not leave this place this morning with sin filled in our lives. Let us not leave this place this morning with a conviction from You that we need to respond to. Father, let us risk. Let us follow Your command. And that was to Peter, come. Father, we lift this invitation time to You and we ask You to bless it. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning?